is Arsenal's superpower being boring?
Arsenal have conceded one goal from open play so far this season, and that was to Erling Haaland, so I think you can kind of forgive that.
Has Frank Lampard rebuilt his reputation?
He knew he had a good team already, and he's made them better with some gentle tweaks and a passionate drive to succeed.
And who was the Manchester United loanee of the night in the Champions League?
And floated in, you!
Hello, I'm Ian McIntosh. This is Football Fast, no faff. Let's go Route 1 in association with Jolson. More on them later. Arsenal beat Olympiacos last night in what I think we can safely call a game of limited jeopardy. It was skillfully managed throughout. The Greek side were starved of possession and could only rack up an XG of 0.5. It was a game, in fact, described by Arsenal writer Tim Stillman as not massively different to the Port Vale match. And this is what Arsenal do. It's why I said in the summer they'll probably win the title. They are defensively strong, structurally stable. When they have a bad day, it's not that bad. I don't even think we've seen the best of them yet. I guess you could call them boring. If you like. Depends if you find winning boring or not. Me, I would rather refer you to the words of Sun Tzu. The good fighters of old first put themselves beyond the possibility of defeat and then waited for an opportunity of defeating the enemy. At least I think that's Sun Tzu. Might have been Mourinho. Anyway, Tim Stillman, you were at the game last night. What do you think? Is Arsenal's superpower being boring?
I think being boring, if you want to put it like that, very much is Arsenal's superpower. I have to say, as a child of the George Graham era, I don't find it boring. I'm very entertained by Arsenal winning games and not looking like conceding goals. But, you know, Arsenal have conceded one goal from open play so far this season, and that was to Erling Haaland. So I think you can kind of forgive that. And it was a great move from Man City. And I think what Arsenal have is, you know, call it boring, solid, dependable, you know, insert adjective here. But essentially what they have behind the ball is it's almost like just like a wall of muscle. So even if you take the ball off Arsenal, there's Saliba, Gabriel and Jurrien Timber. Usually the left back's gone for a bit of a walkabout in Ricardo Calafiori. And then there's Declan Rice as well. So even against Newcastle, when Arsenal are really, really chasing for a goal, they've gone to a back three. Jacob Murphy briefly threatens to get away, and Declan Rice has gone after him like a golden retriever and just won the ball back. And, you know, some of it's like smart tactical positioning, but actually it's a lot of quite boring stuff, like running a lot. Mourinho does that. Rice does that. All of Arsenal's midfielders do that. Really, Ødegaard does it. And that is something you can absolutely rely on with Arteta's Arsenal. Every single player will sweat blood, particularly when they don't have the ball.
Tim Stillman can be found all over the place, but he's got a new column out today on Arseblog. Well worth checking that one out. There is a link in the episode description. Starting a new business can be incredibly daunting. I've done it 3 times now. It still gives me the heebie-jeebies. However, my most recent venture, this one, was a lot less stressful thanks to Jolson. They're a B Corp certified commercial law firm, which means they're committed to using their business as a force for good through their social and environmental performance, while, you know, also being really, really good at what they do. From startup to exit and everything in between, they've worked with brands like Innocent, Proper, Addison Lee, Tenzing, and Lucky Saint, to name just a few. And Jolson are offering 10 listeners of this podcast a free legal consultation with one of their lawyers on issues relating to fundraising, IP, manufacturing, partnership agreements, or employment issues. Visit www.jolsonlaw.com/route1 to submit your request. Jolson guided us through company setup, investment, shareholder agreements, all the legal stuff that, I'll be quite honest, it terrifies me. So if you want stress-free expert legal advice for your business, check out www.jolsonlaw.com, who are proud sponsors of this week's Route 1, and you'll find all of those details in the episode description. When Frank Lampard left Chelsea for the last time with a win percentage of just 9%, it seemed like the end of his managerial career. He had done enough in his first job with Derby County to convince the Blues to make him their first English manager since Glenn Hoddle, but after a promising start at Stamford Bridge, he was gone inside 18 months. He didn't even last a year at Everton, and the less said about his brief post-Potter stint back at Chelsea, the better. His reappearance at Coventry, therefore, was greeted by a mixture of scorn from neutrals and anger from some Sky Blue fans. But those voices have fallen silent now because Coventry are flying. They were extremely unfortunate to be beaten in the playoffs last season. But last night's 4-0 victory at Millwall suggested they may not require playoffs this season. Coventry are unbeaten. They've scored nearly twice as many goals as leaders Middlesbrough. They have the highest XG in the league, the lowest XG against in the league, and two of the top three goal scorers in the league. Adrian Clarke is from the What the EFL podcast. Clarkey, what on earth has Lampard done to this team? They look incredible.
I think Lampard's light touch on what was already a really strong side is actually one of the secrets to his success there. He inherited an underperforming team that was really good. And through his own coaching, great man management, he got them performing. He strengthened the goalie position. He brought in Matt Grimes from Swansea in midfield. And I think both of those were inspired calls. When I look at Coventry, they're so well-rounded. They press well. No one's had more shot-ending high turnovers. But they're also a great counter-attacking team. They defend well. Only one error's cost a shot so far this season. They can pass it. And of course, they've got Hadji Wright as the main striker. And that was another really good decision from Lampard. He was playing on the left. He's moved him up front. And that is reaping its rewards. A word of warning, Coventry do have a small squad and one or two key players are out this weekend. But I'll tell you what, if they're close in January, I would be staggered if Coventry's owners don't back him with a large kitty to spend. So in summary, he knew he had a good team already and he's made them better with some gentle tweaks and a passionate drive to succeed. Frank Lampard didn't need to take the Coventry job. He really, really wanted it and he backed himself to succeed. And that's paying off.
And you can find Adrian Clarke and Sam Parkin and Matt Davis Adams on the What the EFL podcast. It's absolutely excellent. There's a link in the episode description. Tino Livramento is set to miss between 6 and 8 weeks with a knee ligament injury sustained against Arsenal. Now, it's a tough blow for Livramento, but given he already missed a year with an ACL while he was at Southampton, Eddie Howe and Newcastle fans may actually think that 2 months is not too bad given what it could have been. From one inform England international to another, how well is Marcus Rashford doing at Barcelona? He's crashing screamers in off crossbars, he's assisting goals from pinpoint corners, and last night he laid on an assist for Ferran Torres that was so meticulously measured, it was like watching Ronnie O'Sullivan pot a long red. He's averaging a goal or an assist every 88 minutes for Barcelona, and it's only going to cost them £26 million to make the move permanent. In related news, Rasmus Højlund's brace against Sporting last night, both goals assisted by Kevin De Bruyne, took his Napoli tally to 3 in 5 games. That's as many as he scored in his final 35 outings for Manchester United. The curse is real, and leaving Old Trafford continues to be one of the most liberating actions a player can take. Under fire, Rangers sporting director Kevin Thelwell is about to undertake a... well, quite the gambit by appointing his own son, Robbie, as Rangers' new head of recruitment. This follows Thelwell's decision to hire Everton's former head of recruitment, Dan Purdy, as technical director at Ibrox, and Everton's former head of emerging talent, Nathan Fisher, as Rangers' head scout. Crikey, jobs for the boys and for the boy. You're a brave man, Kev, I'll give you that. Sticking with Scotland, Hearts are top of the league and unbeaten. You know who else is top of their league and unbeaten? Union Saint-Gilloise. And they're both Tony Bloom clubs. Now, we're all au fait with Bloom's astonishing and inspiring work transforming Brighton from League One also-rans into one of Europe's best-run clubs. But the next phases of Bloom's forays into football are arguably going to be even more impressive. If Hearts can have anything like the success Union Saint-Gilloise have had of late, well, supporters will remember this era for a very long time. Loads of football on tonight. You know where to find all the details. FotMob or live football on TV. We won't waste your time with it here. I will be watching Nottingham Forest as they try for the 6th time to deliver Ange Postecoglou a first victory. They are at home to Midtjylland. Chris in the writer's room, he will be watching Dynamo Kiev versus Crystal Palace, cynically hoping Palace pick up key injuries before they face Everton this weekend. And Lola will be watching Feyenoord versus Villa to some example, the famous atmosphere there, and hoping Feyenoord swiftly eradicate any optimism at Aston Villa. Both of them are far, far meaner humans than me. That was Route 1. It was football fast, no faff. It's here every weekday about 3 p.m. If you like it, give it a follow. And if you really like it, give it a review. I've been Ian McIntosh. Your audio producer was Helena Freemantle. There is a YouTube version of this show as well. You should check that out. Video editor there is Dean Throssell. Video producer, Sean Nicholas. Chris Smith was in the writer's room. Lola Katz-Roberts and Sophie Manners were on socials. We'll see you tomorrow.